our Patreon page. Welcome to a very special, and I guess we'll say wait and see return of A Side Order of Sleaze.
Yeah, we're trying it out, These are tougher to make because how do you make, you know, you can't make as many jokes about some of the topics in these films.
No. We got to be real careful about that. You know, a lot of the content in these movies is a little offbeat, a little uncomfortable, a little awkward, especially with the old 2016 eyes. Although I'd like to think through humanity's eyes in general.
Yeah, what is this, 1975? I think this was a problem even then.
Yeah, it's problematic no matter what year you slice it. By the way, I'm Andrew Jupin alongside Eric Siska. The film in question, as you saw when you saw the Patreon file, is indeed Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS from 1975, directed by a guy named Don Edmonds.
Right, from Canada.
Canadian director. Now, let me throw this out there. Eric, did you know that Don Edmonds once worked with a high-profile Seinfeld personality?
I did not. Michael Richards? Old movies?
No, this is so. I mean, this is like nothing, but this guy also directed a movie called Terror on Tour, which is your basic like slasher. There's like some rock band called The Clowns, which is hilarious, and they're basically like Kiss but with clowns.
That sounds better than Kiss.
It doesn't take much to get better than Kiss. Hot take. No, but so like whatever, like people start getting killed on this tour, doesn't matter, shitty movie. I watched like 20 minutes of it on YouTube last night. But one of the stars of the movie is Larry Thomas, aka the Soup Nazi. Okay.
Oh my God.
Now, and I don't know if I can verify this because who knows who's right and what on the internet, but if you go to this movie's IMDb page, you open up the Tribune, down in the message board, there is a thing supposedly from Larry Thomas, the Soup Nazi, written by Larry Thomas, where he is indeed apologizing for his performance in this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that brings it back around with the Nazi angle.
who would have ever thought?
Well, no, first of all, he was only following orders that the director was giving.
Right.
But, you know, Soup Nazi, it's just fascinating how this what is his name? Don Canada?
Don Edmonds.
Don Edmonds. Yeah, he gave us two major Nazi cultural icons, Ilsa and the Soup Nazi.
There you go. Yeah, so this movie, it's kind of like, is this like one of the most notorious, I mean, I guess I could say franchises. They made a few of these movies, like exploitation franchises. This is like a big one, right?
Yeah, I think this is like a blockbuster. This is a huge sleaze movie that I think is more accessible since it's made in America and it's not the usual Italian fare.
Right, yeah, you're not necessarily getting put on any lists for this movie, like for seeking out this movie, but I'll admit to you know, sort of like checking over my shoulder when I'm Googling.
Andrew, I'll stop you right there. You're getting on our Patreon list for checking out this film.
There you go. Nice tie-in. So this movie is, I mean, I don't know, it's about this woman Ilsa. She's a commandant in the SS. And she's doing like sexual experiments and torture on people that come into her concentration camp. Is that a fair assessment of this movie?
Yeah, I guess it is a concentration camp. It might be a POW. I guess it is. But it's one of the nicest ones you've ever seen since they're using the set of Hogan's Heroes.
Dude, that is so ridiculous. So like, Hogan's Heroes was canceled already.
Yeah.
And so they're like, hey, we want to film this Nazi exploitation movie, and no one's using your barracks set, so let's get on in here and rent this thing. And the people who owned like the Hogan's Heroes set was like, well, your screenplay calls for this thing to be like destroyed by the end of it, so two birds, one stone for us. Clean up our fucking TV mess.
Yeah, man, I could go for Colonel Klink, He-Wolf of the SS.
Oh, dude, I was actually, because there's some parts of this movie where, like, there's a fat, bumbling so-and-so, and he's, like, very apologetic, very, I know nothing, I see nothing kind of guy. And it reminded me, who's the fat guy on that show?
Schultz, I think.
Yeah, Schultz, dude. There's definitely like a Schultz character in this movie. Only he's performing sexual torture on women.
Do you think Bob Crane saw this movie? Or maybe he was just off camera the whole time?
Bob Crane saw this movie and got some ideas?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, now I'm just picturing Greg Kinnear and Willem Dafoe sitting on the set of this movie, like within the world of autofocus, and they're like taking notes.
Oh, yeah. You see that, Bob?
Don't mind me. I'm just over here in the corner of the set watching things.
Taking notes, Bob. Got a big weekend coming up in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what that was.
Dude, I think autofocus comes up more on this podcast than any other podcast in the history of podcasting.
I think so. I think we got to get the Guinness Book on the line.
So this movie starts off with, like, she is screwing some guy, and he finishes before she says that it's cool to do so. So in return, she castrates this man.
Right. And apparently this is her MO, and she's been doing this with all the male prisoners.
Now, I know that Nazi science was, you know, far-reaching, highly controversial. You know, and they were working on all sorts of projects. But I feel like Ilsa's experiments are a little unsanctioned by the top brass.
Yeah, I don't know if Hitler and Himmler were very interested in male ejaculation times.
Oh, no, she's doing what? Oh, this looks bad for us, mein Führer.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
This is a PR nightmare, what we found down at Ilsa's POW camp.
Well, it's the kind of that kind of does happen in this movie in a way, because spoiler alert, at the end of it, even she gets shot by German soldiers storming this camp to erase it from existence.
Yeah, that's actually true. By the end of this movie, I think that's right, though. There is like this Nazi, like from the top down order, like, oh, shit, we just found out about this. This is incredibly embarrassing. light it up.
Yeah, it's and you know, we've seen a couple of the other Ilsa movies. I know, Andrew, you and I have seen The Wicked Warden at some point in our lives.
Oh, sure. Also starring the woman who plays Ilsa.
Right. A young woman named Diane Thorne.
Rising starlet Diane Thorne.
But Ilsa is seemingly killed at the end of this film. So I guess she's being reborn, or is she living the same life over and over again, but going into different divisions, like prison. And then there's Tigress of Siberia. I think she's a Soviet in that one.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. She's working her ranks through all sorts of sexually experimental positions.
Right.
That didn't sound right. Oil...
And there's Harem of the Oil Sheiks.
Have you seen any of those?
I saw some of Tigress. It's Ilsa and Snow.
Right.
So you got that going for you.
Harem of the Oil Sheiks, by the way. My God. You know, here's your prediction. I haven't seen that one yet. Guaranteed it's pretty racist.
Oh, I bet. I have it. I haven't seen it yet. So maybe if people like this episode, maybe we'll do it down the line.
Dude, what's that part of a fucking DVD 12-pack? Where'd you get that?
You know what? I think I got it. I think I got it like on eBay, and I think it was an individual's situation.
Oh,
and
shit.
It was like, it's like Korean made, but it's in English.
Yeah, checks out. am I the only one that thought that the actress playing Ilsa, by the way, at least at the beginning of this movie, they sort of change her hair at one point, but like in this opening scene, she kind of looks like Lara Flynn Boyle.
A little bit.
Just say.
with gigantic bazongas.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is not a boob comedy, but this is certainly a boob movie.
This is a boob terror film. isn't there, oh my God, what was that movie? I think I saw a trailer for it once where it's like this woman suffocates people with her breasts.
Oh, yeah, that sounds embarrassingly vaguely familiar. I don't know.
It's sad that we both might have seen
that
trailer.
I'm like, oh, yeah, that one? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're kicking the DVD under the bed, I see.
Well, hey, man, this is a side order of Sleaze on Patreon, so it's like, you know, expect the expected, I guess. So there is, I mean,
oh, real quick, oh, yeah, while we're talking, we were talking about this actress. I just want to quickly mention she was in Star Trek the original series for an episode.
Oh, is that right?
So maybe she'll come up on the Nexus. I don't think she played that big of a role, and apparently she has a small role in the Jim Belushi, John Ritter movie, Real Men, which is often requested.
Oh, yeah, that's one of those we'll get around to it one of these days. But hey, now there's even more of a reason.
Exactly.
So we can get on the main show and continue talking about Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS. Now, what is She-Wolf, by the way? Because here's what I'll admit to. I saw this movie a while ago, but yeah. I'll say I knew about it for much longer. It wasn't like, oh, here's this movie, and then I watched it immediately. It was like I heard of it. You hear lore about movies like this, right?
And that's how it goes with these movies.
But I always assume, so they're saying She-Wolf of the SS. I thought this was a werewolf movie.
Oh, really?
For years, I thought that it was about this woman, Ilsa, who was a Nazi, and she also turned into a werewolf.
Hey, better movie.
Definitely a better movie. Nazi werewolves, that has to have been a movie by now, right?
I think it's definitely out there. But
there's a 12-pack.
I thought you were going to ask me if She-Wolf was like an actual rank in the military. I'm like, oh, no, I don't think so.
No. You know what? I'm not that ignorant.
I guess because it's in the 70s and a lot of these movies are women being terrorized, this one included.
Yeah.
So maybe they had to pepper in that language to say, hey, this time ladies dishing out the torture.
Well, that's what's weird, though, is like this movie kind of like rides on its high horse of like, we'll see a woman's conducting it. And it's like, it doesn't make it any less horrible what I'm watching. Like, just because a lady is the boss, like, hey, great, the SS is promoting women to, you know, ranks of power within experimental science divisions. What an achievement. Also, she's sexually torturing these people and terrorizing them.
See, the Germans were way ahead of us.
I mean, case in point, there's like, I mean, we're not going to go scene by scene through this movie, and there's a lot of
we're
like,
not
no sorry to break it to you, buddy, but I feel like, again, we always make the joke, how is a podcast getting canceled? I think a minute by minute podcast about Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS,
ooh,
that'll get like you booted from iTunes.
That's a great idea, Ilsa minute by minute. There's, you know, then we can go on to the next films.
Just do the whole franchise. I mean, yep. The first movie alone, that's like, what, it's like 98 solid minutes.
Oh, my God. There, we got our first hundo.
Also, did you have the thing on your DVD, speaking of like the first minutes of this movie, I was going to say, if you did a minute-by-minute podcast on this, there is the opening segment where there's like the it's like a rider or like a warning or whatever. Did you have that?
Yeah, I did. It was like something about the, like, hey, this is fictional, but this type of stuff happened.
Right, and I feel like isn't the what you're hearing, though, isn't it just Hitler giving a speech?
Yes. Oh, God. Thank God you mentioned that, because I was going to mention that, because it's like it has nothing to do with anything.
No, it's just this warning about, like, you know, this movie is, you know, a work of fiction. All coincidences are coincidences or whatever it is. But by the way, this definitely happened. and then it's just Hitler screaming on the soundtrack. It's a tough. It's an awkward decision.
It's spooky. But it's like, which one am I supposed to pay attention to? I was like, wait, is this what Hitler's saying? Oh no, that Hitler didn't talk about this movie.
Dude, DVD commentary starring Adolf Hitler.
Oh my God, all that could have been.
Well, they were missing the point here too. Missing the point here.
Yeah, this is a work of fiction. I thought, this part really happened.
Oh, I was there for that part. Here's a quick question.
Yes.
So she's listed as like a commandant, but how powerful overall of a Nazi do you think Ilsa is? Like, she's like, does she have like a reputation amongst Nazis all over the place?
Well, no, I don't think so. I feel like, you know, this is like that this secret camp that they destroy anyway. And she's there later on in the film, someone who outranks her, who reports to Himmler, shows up, and this guy's a piece of shit. And he's got like rotten teeth. I don't know what they're trying to say there, but Yeah, I don't think she's that well known. And obviously, I think while the Nazis were way more progressive with women's rights in terms of positions of power, Leni Riefenstahl, maybe. Oh, I don't know.
There you go.
But I don't think she's well known. I think she, and then she swept under the rug at the end of the film.
Yeah, no, she's totally swept under the rug in a great sequence that we'll talk about at the end of this. So she's not only rounding up women, which we do see, she's rounding up these women. There's a really uncomfortable, we're shaving your pubes off scene, which nobody needs to repeat. But she's also rounding up dudes and like measuring their dicks and using them as like, you know, sex slaves, basically.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the whole like the whole thing about her getting a man every night, and you know, I guess seeing how long he could withhold ejaculation, which leads us to our hero of the film,
right? Go ahead.
Yeah, this American who is apparently, and there's, you know, obviously they have dialogue to cover this up, like, oh, why wouldn't you be in a prisoner of war camp or whatever? Oh, well, I was a student in Germany and, you know, I just went right to the camps and here I am.
Yeah, it's a really loose explanation. This dude Wolf, by the way.
Okay. And and he apparently, he's like, he tells his buddy Mario in the camp that... And Mario's been castrated, I believe.
As was the fashion at Ilse's POW camp.
So he's like, ever since I was a kid, man. I'm like, what? I could withhold ejaculation and, you know, I could just let it happen when I want or not. And it's my superpower.
Dude, he is bragging to this barracks full of broken men about how he... can make himself not achieve ejaculation. And this is like 5 to 7 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, it is, you know, and it's funny enough, it's one of the better 5 to 7 minutes.
Well, there's no torture going on. It's just two characters talking to each other. But yeah, he's basically like, he says this whole spiel and this dude Mario is just like, wow, you're the coolest man in the world. But they know, like, I guess they know, like, the whole thing is like, you know, you have sex with her and when you finish, she's like, oh, you finished, time to castrate you. And this dude's like, I think he explains this to them after he sleeps with her the first time. And he's just like, yep, I'll get her under my thumb. Don't worry about it. I can control my ejaculation. You're like, this is like the hero of this movie. This is the dude's superpower, I guess. Spider-Man can cling to walls, and this dude can't come.
Oh, man. He needs to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It would be a perfect tie-in with Captain America. Maybe, you know, like we, you know, flash back to the first Avenger timeline and, and Red Skull's trying to make this guy come, and he can't. So Captain America springs him. Maybe Bucky's involved.
Oh, you know what, dude?
Of course, Bucky's involved.
Bucky's definitely involved. Bucky volunteered. My question about these movies, too, is like, and I guess like, you know, fans of these movies, because Lord knows they're out there. But like, you know, what is this movie doing? And by that, I mean, like, is this movie trying to like stick it to the Nazis, or can like a good red-blooded American neo-Nazi like watch this movie and be like, fuck, yeah, you know, like. Is it both? Is it one or the other?
I think it's both. I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, because they're showing like how terrible the Nazis are. But hey, yeah, you know, you jerk off to them, that's fine.
It's just weird. Like, I'm thinking of one instance in particular where, like, I think it's the first time she sleeps with Wolf, and it cuts to just this shot of the Nazi flag, and you hear like sex noises over it. And, you know, on the one hand, that could be like sticking it to Nazis. But on the other hand, I can see like, you know, sympathizers or enthusiasts like watching this and being like, fuck, yeah, sexy Nazi flag fucking. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's catering to people who might have that leaning. And it's also catering to people who are like, can't come and need a taboo exploration.
Oh, yeah. That's helping those people out, actually. That's true.
Right, like, you know, people who are into, whips and whatnot, and that's fine. and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
A lot of that in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time, you know, you're getting into the 70s, you know, oh man, we could do anything.
We're unstoppable. Look at this movie we've been approved to make. Look at this movie someone gave us money for.
It was an exciting time.
Man, that's an HBO show. The 1970s exploitation film scene.
That would be a great show.
Dude, cast Bobby Cannavale in that now that that fucking vinyl's canceled.
Oh, yeah, he'd be great at that.
Dude, he's definitely playing a sleazy director.
He could be like a, yeah, exactly, like some sleazeball from the armpit of Canada comes down, and we're gonna make Nazi sex movies.
Dude, I mean, here you go, right? And Bobby Cannavale as Don Edmonds.
And they could be screening, like, Italian Nazi exploitations, looking at, like, this is what the competition is. Like, oh, my God, they're killing us out there.
Look, we beat Russia to the moon. Now we gotta beat Italy to the world's most extreme cinema.
Yeah, and I will say about Ilsa that this is like the gateway to it all, the gateway drug. And you go into those Italian Nazi exploitation movies, oh my Lord. See, they'll turn your hair white, some of those.
I mean, this was doing a fine enough job on its own turning my hair white, I guess, or more white, I should say. Now, here's an interesting thing. So you've got, like, all of this, you know, sexual experimentation and, you know, the fucking, oh, the endless, right, like, genital mutilation. And
right, right. And now, so to paint people a picture, you know, a lot of this is just, like, topless girls. She takes out a dildo with an electric thing on it.
Oh, there's an electric coil wrapped around it. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, you don't see any insertion or anything like that, you know, because this is still while it's exploring these rougher sex ideals.
It's not a snuff film in reality.
Exactly. It's it's kind of like, it's like softcore is, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Well, the whole, you know, electric coil dildo sort of goes along with what I was trying to ask about this. So, like, they're doing all those things and she's like fucking these guys and we're doing all this like sexual torture, but then there's also a couple of, like, I don't know if they're like off the menu experiments here or what, but there's the one, do you remember the thing where they're just randomly, like, they've cut off a girl's foot or some shit?
Yeah, that was very odd. I don't understand the sexual experiment implication, but I guess if you're in defeat, I don't know.
I guess. I mean, because there's that. And then the other one, the other two that really got me, the one...
You know, it... Yeah. Just to interrupt you real quick. That these are like very cheap ways to do these effects. Like, oh, making a foot look bloody or part missing. That's like the easiest thing you can do.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but then... So there's like... Like, so we'll cut to, like, the end of the movie here. But, like, so this dude, the higher up who's, like, reporting to Himmler or whatever, this dude, like, comes for an inspection. And Ilsa is, like, taking him around the camp, like it's, you know, touring a factory. And she's just like, now in this room, this is where we're doing the science experiment, boiling people to death. And you're like, what? And it's, like, a girl just in a tub, and she tells... She tells Not Schultz to, you know, turn it up another 5 degrees. And so that's gross. You've got a woman. This is straight out of a fucking James Bond movie. You've got a woman in, like, a pressure room.
Right. Which I actually heard, you know, obviously, you know me, I got my ears to the ground on this type of stuff. But I heard that actually might have existed.
Oh, really? We're just putting people in, like pressure rooms and dropping that pressure down?
Yeah, to see how long they can withstand. And that, if you think about it, that actually has some type of scientific reasoning. Not saying it should be done, but like if you're talking about, I don't know, you're making submarines, you're trying to go to outer space like these Nazis always were.
That's true. You want to get these Nazis, you know, trained in scuba diving also.
Yeah, a lot of people died for the Nazi scuba team.
Dude, the last thing you want is a Nazi with the bends, okay? Yeah. That dude's got to come up minute at a time.
Oh, man, yeah. So Obviously, we're not, I know we're joking around a little on this episode, but we're not condoning any of the crimes of Ilsa or, you know.
Dude, I think that goes without saying here.
All right, I just want to put a disclaimer out there.
Oh, wait, sorry, I'll have to add in Hitler screaming over your disclaimer.
Well, that disclaimer got so much better.
Dude, you know what's a... I'm actually very concerned about the next time I watch Star Wars because of this movie, and I'll tell you why. There's a montage in this movie of, so like, Ilsa finds the one like toughest girl, and she's like, "Oh, hey Schultz, I think this might be the one." And they start like really amping up the testing on this woman, and there's like a montage that goes along with like torturing this girl. And in this montage, dude, they are using Star Wars wipes. Did you see those wipes? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, the next time I see a Star Wars wipe, I'm just going to think of this fucking horrible movie.
I did notice that when the wipe goes through the screen, I was just like, oh, my God, is it going to cut from Ilsa at the camp to 3PL looking for R2-D2 in the desert?
Man, sick mashup right there.
Yeah, maybe there's Nazis. Oh, right, the Empire's Nazis. Maybe, the Empire doing some sick sexual experimentation. Oh, now
getting those gleep-glops up on the table? Sure.
Yeah. Come standalone film, Rogue 69.
Jeez, I know I said I wasn't too happy with Force Awakens, but my God, JJ took this in a really horrible direction now.
And he secretly loves it.
Most of this movie is just like endurance testing this woman, basically. Then, like, for all the complaints you can make about Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS, another one you can tack on is, you know, this movie kind of drags.
It does. There's a big lull in the middle. Like, you know, that fat guy's coming to camp, showing him around, and then like, oh, we're having dinner, and oh yeah, this woman is standing on the dining room table on an ice cube,
right?
And she's got a noose around her neck, and it's like, oh, I thought. And the guy's like, what is this? Which is a good question. And then she's like, oh, I thought you'd like it.
Yeah, I thought you'd be pleased with this. It's like when a cat comes into a room with like a dead mouse in its teeth. It's like, right. Oh, I thought you wanted this. I thought you wanted this woman standing on a block of ice. And the whole thing, again, it's very Bond or very like Edgar Allan Poe. This idea of like she's got the noose on, and once that ice melts, like she's going to hang herself, basically.
Right.
And the movie is too like low budget and terrible to like show you that happening. So what you get is like this ridiculous aftermath where they also kind of don't understand how a hanging works, because like they come back and you see the ice is melted and her feet are hanging, but like this entire body is soaked in blood, and you're like, was razor wire tied around her? Like,
yeah, and shouldn't she have been bleeding before then? I mean, yeah, this movie is a lot of this movie is like, you know, bare-chested ladies and then ladies with a bunch of bloods like dumped on them.
Sure.
Like, It doesn't really have any rhyme or reason, and it's poorly made.
Now, let me ask you this, because I watched this quite late at night and was indeed exhausted, but does this movie take a downward spiral into cannibalism or no?
No, not that I noticed.
Oh, okay.
There are those movies. If you're interested, you shouldn't be, but there are those movies. Although this one interesting effect, maybe the one of the better effects is there's a female prisoner who's basically become Two-Face.
Oh, right.
she's like they cover her eye up and it looks okay.
She looks like the first like in Friday the 13th one, like Jason Voorhees at the end when he jumps out of the water.
Yes.
She kind of looks like that. I mean, it's like I don't know, like Lon Chaney, Phantom of the Opera, kind of like fucked up face on one side. It is. I mean, it's Two-Face. You're right.
Yeah. Well, you know, to thrust to the end of the film, basically, while, you know, all this horrible stuff's going on, the Americans still can't ejaculate. So
right.
He ties up Ilsa in the bed as like a sexual type of thrill. And then he just bounces, and like they start to lead this revolt, this uprising in the prison.
Right, right. And this is planned by, it's Wolf, and there's a woman who sort of like, we meet in the movie, and she like falls for Wolf. This woman, Rosette. She's right. Like kind of a character, and it's the movie's just like, oh yeah, they're in love. And you're like, okay. So like it's the two of them, Mario the eunuch, Super Mario the eunuch,
right? And then, who gets shot on the guard tower?
Oh later sure.
On.
Well, he does a weird thing where they're like, "Come on, Mario, we're gonna get out of here," and he's like, "No, no, 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 no. There is no life in this world for a half man like me." And you're like, "Oh, Mario, come on,
seriously." And then there's a portly prison guard who actually looks like Jack Black. He's got a mustache and he gets his throat slit. That was pretty cool.
Well, all of a sudden this movie's like actually doing stuff. Like this the like jailbreak or the breakout scene, you're like, "Oh, okay, like this is, it's something. It's not necessarily saving this movie, but it's something."
Yeah, because, you know, given the salacious topic, this movie does get pretty boring.
Yeah, it's because, yeah, it just, we're doing all these experiments. Oh, I will say, because we're like pretty much at the end of the movie, there's one thing I don't want to leave out because I think it's one of the, I don't know, not most horrific, but it is just gross parts of this movie is when that dude comes in, like the boss man, and he's like inspecting everything. He's like, "Well, Ilsa, it appears that everything in your camp is coming out okay." And she's like, "Oh, that's great. I do have one more thing to show you." And she like takes this dude in a back room and he's like, "Oh, I'm not going to take my jacket off, but I'll just take my pants off for this." And I'm like, "Pants off for what?" And then she starts pissing on him. And you're just like, "Oh, man, I did not sign up for golden showers in this movie. Come on."
Yeah.
Fucking golden showers wasn't in the forecast, man.
This movie's a work of fiction, but golden showers happened and Hitler was yelling in the background.
Dude, the Fuhrer loved golden showers. Little known historical fact.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. And people also talk about the poop, which, you know, might be just propaganda.
Was he
poopaganda?
Oh, perfect. God. Yeah, so like, you know, whatever, they break out, they break free this dude. So yeah, like then like the Gestapo does come in and they're like cleaning up the joint. And this dude who we meet like earlier in the movie, he's like the assistant of the boss man guy. He comes in and he just shoots Ilsa right in the head. And dude, this is like a Panera bread bowl exploding. Like that's what this, they just like, this dude fires the gun and then it cuts to like a bread bowl filled with New England clam chowder just exploding on camera.
Yeah, I don't understand why they went with the white instead of the red clam chowder.
What a fucking flub. Someone from the prop department just told an intern, like, "Yeah, I'm going to need a quart of clam chowder." And the guy was like, "Got it." And he's walking away. He's like, "Remember, it's for the brains."
Meanwhile, off screen, Willem Dafoe's like, "You didn't bring clam chowder for me? I could go for Panera."
I'm starving over here, taking all these notes. What's awesome this movie has a really shitty, like, we're not taking our work seriously, like, end shot, because it's like all this chaos is happening and then we sort of like tilt up and it tries to zoom in and we're supposed to see Wolf and the woman, Rosette, like, right, are about to walk off into the sunset, and they're like standing there watching all this chaos unfold in the campground, but like this shot is out of focus. You can barely tell it's the two of them. I mean, there's still a 50-50 shot that the woman who's supposed to be Annette is not even Annette. It could have been a stunt double or something. They're so far away. And it's like, yeah, let's just freeze frame on this out of focus garbage shot. That's the end of our movie.
Yeah, I think that was just Greg Kinnear and Willem Dafoe out of focus.
Oh, they got us on camera, Bob. Oh, that's making me excited.
We were there, Bob. Oh man, so we haven't done a sleaze in so long. I think it's been since like Hots or Bloody Birthday.
Oh, the ages ago at this point, yeah.
So I think we had done the sleazometer on those.
Right, so like 1 to 10, like how sleazy did you find watching this movie?
I think it's like a 5 or 6. I mean, it's pretty tame. I mean, you know, if it didn't have the baggage of World War II, it'd be kind of like, eh.
So if this took place on the moon,
right? Or like if Leatherface was doing this stuff.
So all right. So either on the moon or redneck
Texas. Yeah. If this was in Texas, everyone would be like, eh, whatever. It wouldn't be as famous as it is today, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty fair to say. Like, a lot of this is the fact that, like, every other shot is just a close-up of the Nazi insignia, either on a flag or a jacket or a fucking tablecloth. Like,
yeah, it's called a swastika.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, we still got, like, dildos with electrical cables on them. We've got That's golden true. Showers. I mean, I'd say this is at least like a 7.5 or an 8 for me.
You know, you might be right.
I mean, here's the thing that it saves it from getting into like the 9s, though. And as we pointed out, no cannibalism.
there's a real lack of gore. There's a lack of showing you. There's a lack of effect shots. There's like one or two. It's mostly just people covered in marinara sauce.
And that they then squeegeed down and reused for craft services later.
Right. But this is totally a movie where you're like, oh, I'm watching Elsa now. Better shut the blinds.
oh, yeah, totally. You know? It was a real.
Turn off the light.
Dude,
no one's home.
I'm waiting for my wife to go to bed. I'm waiting for the dog to go to bed. I'm like, nobody can see me watching this movie.
Oh, I think we just told Patreon we watched it.
Well, you know, I mean, people can know about it after the fact. When once the deed is done, I guess.
Oh, wow. Yeah, now from podcast high command can come down and shoot us in the head.
What are they doing down here? Oh, no, an Ilsa podcast murder.
Yeah, sweep this under the rug.
So, all right, I think this was a good experimental side order of sleaze to see if we can, like, get these out every now and again for our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, and if you guys like this side order of sleaze, let us know, and let us know, you know, maybe if there's a movie you saw on Netflix or Hulu or something that's easily accessible, because a lot of these movies aren't, you know, right. Just let us know. Leave a comment below.
Exactly right. Maybe something on Amazon stream, or listen in full on YouTube, as long as I can watch it. Like, as long as the audio is synced properly.
Right, and as long as no copyright laws are being violated.
Just like Don Edmonds' Terror on Tour, which I did seriously watch 20 minutes of. And 20 minutes, I think one person got killed. It's a really slow movie, but check that out for the soup Nazi.
Oh, yeah. Now since you're more familiar with Edmonds' filmography, sure. Now, was that 20 minutes better than these 98 minutes?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't looking over my shoulder watching those 20 minutes, I'll tell you that much.
Because that's just set in Canada or America or some such.
Just some boring land in present day, yeah. It's not a period piece like this film.
Right. It's a prestigious period piece.
That's a side order of sleaze. Thank you so much for subscribing to our Patreon. For more We Hate Movies, visit whmpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
And I've been Eric Siska.
Take it easy.